Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to another episode of Money Honeys, where we, Freddie,
Chantel,
and Devin,
talk about money and how to make more of it with as little effort on the back end as possible. We use this term all the time, passive income.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get started, ladies, how are you? How's your week been? How are your pockets, Devin?
My week has been really good.
Good.
It's been great. I finished a show on Friday, which I'm very excited about. It went well. Then Patrick surprised me because I had missed a couple vacations this year. So he surprised me on a trip to Big Sur, which I had never been to Big Sur before.
So cute.
I've seen how the other half live, y'all. It's beautiful. I will say my pockets are feeling good, but my finger is feeling pretty heavy.
Ah! Devin! I had a feeling. Oh my God. No, you lying. Sorry, Robin, that I screamed in your ear.
Devin. Literally, when you're like, I'm going away for a weekend,
Don't you cry. Here, I'll come close to the camera to show Chantel.
Yes. Oh my God. Wait. Oh, Dev, it's so pretty.
Yes.
Oh, my God. What, you really?
Surprised you on the podcast.
Yes.
Surprised you on this, too.
Oh, my gosh, listeners, we had no idea Devin really held this secret.
Literally,
so happy for you.
Thank you.
I'm on Zoom because I'm.
You're salty about that.
And I just heard my fingers feeling a little heavy. I was like, did you hurt your finger?
Yeah.
Did you? I was like, I don't see a bandage. It's a little sprain. Like, what happened? Dev, this is so exciting.
This is, oh, congratulations.
My gosh. I had a feeling.
Did you?
Yes. When you were like, Pat and I are going away for the weekend, I was like, oh, he's going to do it. It's perfect timing because it's like pre-holiday, pre-birthdays, because your birthday often gets usurped by the holidays.
Sure does.
And so I was like, this timing is perfect that way you can celebrate this. And you both always see your families over the holidays. And so I was like, oh, you'll get to like celebrate with everyone.
Yeah.
Yay!
How are you feeling?
Oh my God, it was really overwhelming in the moment, you know.
Did you have any idea?
I had some idea it was coming, but I didn't know if it was going to happen this trip or when we went back to his place or my place, you know, for the holidays. And then the morning of, I kind of had an idea because he was really excited and kind of nervous. But it was perfect. We went to a place up in the Redwood Forest, so essentially like Fern Gully, like think that kind of ecosystem. And we were walking around the Redwoods and he pulled me inside of a hollowed out Redwood that was huge and got down on one knee. And then the story of the ring is we had seen this ring on Instagram back in May.
Yeah.
And I had fallen in love with it. We both had.
Yeah.
And then one day I kept checking the listing and then one day it was gone. It was sold. And I was really sad about it. And I went and took a nap and Patrick woke me up and he was like, why are you okay? And I'm like, I don't want to talk about it. I feel stupid. And he's like, tell me. And I'm like, well, the ring got bought and I, you know, whatever. And he was like, well, I don't want you to feel bad, but I didn't get that ring for you because I got you another one. I already have the ring, and I know you're going to love it. So this entire time, I've been thinking there was another ring, and then...
And it was the one that you... My heart is fluttering everywhere.
So it was really, really beautiful, and so now I'm engaged.
Yay!
It's just like...
Mm-hmm.
Have you been saying my fiance?
No, that feels weird.
Yeah.
And we've been saying my fancy boyfriend.
My fancy boyfriend.
My fancy girlfriend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Fiance feels weird, didn't it, Shanti? For you, when you guys were engaged?
No.
You, oh,
no.
She's like, I'm rich. She's like, I like French.
Yeah, I'm like saying fiance was so fun. I mean, I think for me, it was also nice that it was like kind of a genderless term. Mm. And so it was fun to just like be able to say it and not have to like worry about like gender and stuff like that. But being engaged was like really, really fun. I'm excited for you.
Yeah. So we haven't put it on social yet. Yeah. I wanted to surprise some friends in person.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I screamed.
Yeah, you did. You did.
I love it so much. I'm so happy for you, Deb.
Thanks.
It
8 years.
Perfect. Big Sur is like,
8 years in the making. I know y'all think I rushed into
it. Now, are you sure it's not too soon, right, Deb? I don't know.
Never let go of your dreams, y'all. Devin did it. She did it, y'all. Nailed
it. Yeah, it took 8 years. That's why, like, if any girl falls in love with Pat, you know she's falling in love with me. Because this has been 8 years in the making.
Yeah.
8 years in the making. So, like, if you think you're in love with Pat, honestly, try me.
Yeah.
Circle back.
Truly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, congratulations,
thank you,
Devin.
Thank you.
What a way to step. My week. I'm not talking.
Shanti, did you get engaged again?
Imagine. No, I've been working a lot and I'm sick.
Oh, but no.
Let's end on that.
I know.
Okay.
What a beautiful update. I am so happy for you, Deb.
Thank you.
I love it so much.
Yes.
I really am.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, life has been pretty mundane
for me.
But I will say I've been poking around, watching some YouTube videos, doing some light research on how to lease commercial property.
You bought a house and you're like,
yeah,
I need more.
I do. You guys, it's my dream to lease commercial property. And I would love for it to be a video studio, photography studio, and also an event space.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I feel pretty passionate about. And I think that it would be cool just to have my own, because with DJing, with like being passionate about throwing my own events and my friends and close, you know, DJ friends also being able to throw their own events, it's hard. It's hard. Like the politics of trying to get into a venue in LA amongst all of the different, you know, people who have been around and who have these relationships already. Like it's very difficult to get good spots and good slots. So I just really want to have my own. Y'all know I don't like authority.
And
your space would be dope. Yeah. It'd be like the premium space in LA.
Yes.
It'd be Voss water in the fridge. I can see it already.
Can you feel it?
I get the vibes. The comfiest couches.
Yes, absolutely. All in all, with all this like commercial real estate talk, like I actually met up with a friend of mine named Keanu. I think y'all both know her. She worked at BuzzFeed and Tasty. She leases two studio spaces, kitchen studio spaces in downtown LA.
No way.
Like commercial leases. So she rents them out. And all of these things. She's actually had some really big major clients use her space. And she's really been quite successful with her commercial leasing and being able to really make a business out of it. It really is a small business for her. So before we jump into that, though, I want to see how much y'all know in this lane of commercial leasing.
Okay.
A quick game of true and false. Okay, all right. Are y'all ready?
I've shot at Keanu's stage.
Oh.
I shot at her studio.
Oh, yeah, you did.
No way.
Yeah, I shot there last year. It was like, it was beautiful like that, because it was a branded project that I was directing for Attention and Hulu, and we had like toured some other stages, and they were just like grody.
Mm.
It was just like, we do not like, I don't want to shoot here, and also the spaces weren't like, kind of like flex enough to be able to make it work, because this particular shoot, it was like 5 locations that we were trying to all get within one studio.
Yeah.
And her studio was pristine. And it just like had everything that we needed to where like, okay, let's turn this green room into a hair salon. Let's turn this one kitchen set into kind of like dining room plus kitchen set. Let's turn, you know,
wow.
So she, yeah. Her place was great.
She really put her foot into the design, and she did all the design on her own.
Wow.
Like she's very, very good, very talented. So I am curious as to what type of commercial lease she did take out or mm-hmm. she used, because I didn't talk to her about that. But there are a bunch of different types of commercial leases. But to simplify things and to get to the bare bones, we're going to talk about two types to start.
Okay.
True or false? A net lease benefits the tenant more than the landlord.
False. I don't know why. I'm going to commit to it, though.
False. I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea. I will do true just so that we can have two separate answers.
Here's my logic, okay? Nets catch things, okay? And I think that a landlord is going to want to catch you, you know? Mm. Yeah, that's my logic. You get it. It works, yeah. Right?
And my logic is just opposite of what Devin said, so that we have variation.
Variation. Devin, you are correct. Ah. It is false.
Context clues. Nets catch yes. things.
So true or false, a gross lease benefits the tenant more than the landlord.
So true. No, wait. Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. And then true or false, a modified gross lease is a balance between a net lease and a gross lease.
True?
Yeah. Exactly. So this was pretty easy.
Wow, we're learning so much.
Yeah. So pretty much gross leases are when the landlord gives the tenant pretty much just a flat rate of rent. And then the landlord handles all of the, you know, electricity, lighting, all the utilities, any building, you know, infrastructure type things. Mm-hmm. Like that is the landlord's responsibility. And the tenant kind of can just like hang out and just pay that flat rent rate, pretty mm-hmm. much. It's pretty much like the utilities included. Mm-hmm. Net lease is the opposite, or kind of the opposite. There's like a set amount that the tenant has to pay, but then they're also responsible for other utilities at the discretion of the landlord. And then the last option.
Wait, okay, so does that mean that, say the air conditioning breaks, does that money come out of my, if I have a net lease, do I have to pay for that? Air conditioning? Even though I don't own the space?
Yeah, it depends on what the terms are. So ooh. It's like if the AC breaks, if like heating and cooling
is under
the utilities or under that, then yes.
I don't like that.
But sometimes it can be like for example, the modified gross, it can be like you only pay for water and electricity. And then the landlord can pay for like anything broken or infrastructure issues. So then gotcha. It's kind of like a split, and like you kind of just like, what's the word? You negotiate.
Okay.
You pretty much negotiate. And there's like a lot of negotiation that goes into commercial leasing. So,
oh, okay.
But there's so many other different types of leases. Like when I was researching, I was like, there's like 10, 11, 12 different types.
No way.
And so this is pretty much the bare bones of like really what can just get you like acclimated to the idea of what a commercial lease can look and feel like if you decide to go down that route. Okay, we are going to bring Kiano into the stew to talk building her business, the branding around it, and expansion after the break.
After the break.
What up? This is Tor Ray, host of the Hard to Earn podcast. And if you're a fan of music reviews, then be sure to check out and subscribe to Hard to Earn, where my partner Bonsu Thompson and I review your favorite new albums and classic albums on pivotal anniversaries, you know, 10, 15, 20, etc. We review track by track, rating from 1 to that elusive perfect 10. It's brought to you exclusively by the Revolt Podcast Network. Anchored in hip hop, powered by creators.
Welcome back. We have Kiano Moju. Did I say it correctly?
Hi. You made my name sound very foreign.
French.
I mean, yeah. I think technically it's Portuguese.
Oh,
Kiano Moju.
I don't know how they say it.
How do you say it?
I say Moju.
Okay. Moju. Okay.
You fully anglified the name.
Yeah.
Okay.
Welcome back. We have Keanu Moju in the studio with us, and we are so, so, so excited. Thank you for being here. You're the best. Mm-hmm. You are like a role model to me, truly.
Oh, stop it. I overheard the word gross lease in triple net, and I was like, oh, boy.
So, again, Keanu worked for Tasty at BuzzFeed and now has her own studio kitchen, two actually, for kitchen and cooking productions. But also event spaces as well. She's had quite a few big name clients rent out her space, including Netflix and MasterClass.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Wow.
No, I didn't sign any NDAs. Okay.
Big business.
Yeah, I'm like grinning just thinking and talking about it because it's so inspiring, especially as someone interested in this line of work, which is me. So welcome, Keanu.
Thanks for having me. It's funny. I'm very much loving my bubble of studio daily. And so it's fun to talk about it because I'm in it. I live there, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, but I feel like I do.
I mean, you kind of do. As part of your soul resides there, I feel like.
Part of my soul, part of my skin. We have brick walls. I scratch myself daily.
The DNA.
Yes, right.
It's all over the place. Oh, we love it. Oh, but exposed brick. We love that even more.
No, it's nice.
I was just about to say, I love me some exposed brick.
Our building is old. It's from like 1907 for like LA is ancient. Nothing in LA is that old. So
yeah,
it's true. Cool being in like a historical building.
Have you done your research about like who used to live there or what used to go on there?
So back, I don't know about the origin mm-hmm. building, but it used to be a distribution center for Anheuser-Busch.
Oh.
Then it was a bag company. Mm. And then it was latest converted into like creative artists loft spaces, which it kind of is now.
Cool.
So
nice.
Anheuser-Busch. Hail.
We love beer.
Yeah.
A little beer moment.
Have y'all seen that tweet that's like, she's beautiful until she orders a beer. Then it's like, okay, handsome. Sorry, I just...
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay. I see you, handsome.
Wow.
I need to find that one.
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
Suddenly she has muscles. Right. Okay. A beer. All right. I'm into it.
Let's do it. An IPA.
Anyway, Fred's a beer gal.
I love beer.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, hi, Chantel. You're over there laughing at us. Miss you.
Hi. It's Devin's line, right?
Oh, fuck me. Yeah. Sorry. Super excited to have you on with us. Okay. So can you kind of give us a loose run of who you are, mostly where you grew up and your relationship with money? Because it's nice to have context.
Oh, relationship with money.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I grew up in the Bay Area,
okay.
Oakland, California, to be exact, not San Francisco.
So
very clear.
E40 then.
We like him.
Okay.
We respect him.
Pro E40. Gotcha.
We're pro E40. We're pro hyphy movement and all the shenanigans that accompany.
Got you.
I think the world will learn to respect them in time.
Yeah. Oh, do they not? Do we not respect them?
I thought it was cool until I went to school on the East Coast and people try to use it against me. They're like, oh, you're from the Bay? Does that mean you get hyphy on the weekend?
You're like, what's my favorite word? Bitch, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fun. It's a fun part of California.
It is.
Relationship with money, it evolved over time. I think it's first generation. Both my parents are from Africa, dad from Nigeria, mom from Kenya. Parents of very different family backgrounds.
Oh.
My paternal family, everyone, like my dad used to be a professor at Berkeley, has his own science lab. Company. And my mom comes from ranchers, cattle ranchers. So very much farmland, came to America and, you know, very American dream, worked her way up at the city of Oakland as a temp and then retired there as a CFO. So,
hey, wow.
Yeah, she's the one you guys need to have on here. For real.
Honestly,
I'm
taking notes for the next
episode.
So
the relationship and experience has changed because, you know, it's a American story from coming in very strong education background to help build up and then just like working her way up the ladder. And as she worked up, you know, like a little bit more space in the house, a little bit. I'm like this car for school now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it changed a lot. From, I'd say most significantly, when I started high school.
You felt the difference.
It's like, well, high school was the first time you had a house, from like apartment life to like actual single family home.
Yeah.
That happened midway through high school. So the relationship has shifted over time. Mm-hmm. But I also spent every other summer break in Kenya. So on the ranch, I have a very traditional Kenyan Maasai family. The home we had was made of the land, you know, get the sticks, coat it in mud, create the walls. And so lived between a couple different cultures and seen the variants of different way of life. But like Freddie, I'm also, I like nice things.
Mm. I called her bougie the other day. She said, I don't know if I'm bougie.
There's a spectrum. There's a scale and a spectrum.
There's nothing wrong with being bougie here.
I am a farm girl who likes to be comfortable.
Yeah. It's giving like the Parent Trap kind of farm girl. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. You have a vineyard. You're not afraid to get your hands dirty.
Yeah.
But then you want to go about lay by the pool.
Exactly.
That. There we go.
Tootsie.
I love that so much. Speaking my language.
So obviously we all worked at BuzzFeed and got a good sense of what makes a good studio space and what makes a bad studio space. Yeah. Did you always know you wanted to eventually expand and run your own operation, or did that come a little later?
I actually had no career ambitions to work for a company.
Yes. Correct.
Snaps.
It was not in my cards. I used to be that kid. I'd visit my mom at work. And I'd be like, Mommy, I'm never working in a cubicle. Just the idea of it. I was like, this isn't for me. I would walk into offices and be like, this isn't I never imagined an office would be a space that my adult life would entail. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because I saw a bunch of different types of jobs. My grandparents, you know, they have a farm, so their work is outside. And my dad is a scientist. He had a lab. My mom had an office. So I grew up seeing that work could take place in many types of spaces. Mm-hmm. The space didn't have to be desks and chairs. At the time in the 90s, I don't think this open floor plan we had in BuzzFeed really existed outside of maybe like, what is it, like the telephone to people who answer?
Oh, yeah,
like
call centers.
Call yeah. centers. But, you know, everyone had a cubicle back then. So the cubicle was what our open desks were at BuzzFeed. But I never dreamt that would be my adult life. Maybe it would be in a kitchen. But I was living in London doing my master's in publishing. And I wrote my thesis on the rise of digital food media.
Oh, you were before your time.
Right. So what year was this?
This was in 2016. I graduated in 17 and immediately I interviewed for BuzzFeed while living in London and got the job at Tasty thereafter. So from that thesis, it was my professor who was like, I know you came here with ambitions and want to start your own business and that, but I encourage you to spend at least a year working for one of these companies you talked about in your thesis. Get your feet wet, experience it, you know, in real life, not just on paper or the internships I'd done, and then go start your company. And so that's what I did. I interviewed and applied and got the job at Tasty. And then after my first year, I started looking for a studio space, and actually one of the spaces I saw is the one that I'm currently in right now.
She said, I have 1 year. Yeah. I know. I can see what you guys are doing wrong here.
Yeah.
I was there for two technically. BuzzFeed will catch you like that. But after 1 year is when I started looking.
You were like, I see y'all. I could do this
yeah.
myself.
Yeah. No, mm-hmm. I love this.
Me too.
That feels like such good advice too, because and you can tell us, but I would just imagine that there would be so much that you learn kind of while on the job and mm-hmm. getting your feet wet in a space as expansive as BuzzFeed. So even seeing how multiple types of productions can utilize one set must have been kind of cool.
Definitely helpful. I mean, my professor, bless him, his name is Desmond O'Rourke. He just passed earlier this year. Mm-hmm. But it was really sound advice he gave me, you know, being the experience. But I think part of why I ended up not going that first year is it's also easy to feel like there's more to learn. Let me stay. There's more to learn. Let me stay. And I'll tell you, from having now run the studio for 3 years, there will always be more to learn. So don't wait, and don't also have it be something that like procrastinates you. Be like, oh, I don't know enough yet. More experience, because the majority of learning will be on the job. Mm-hmm. And I came in opening Jaconi knowing one portion of the industry. And as soon as the difference with having a business versus working for a company or even freelancing is you literally have opened your door physically, in this case, for people to find you and approach you. And that's when I learned how vast the industries were that could use such a space, not just us creating digital media, the infomercial world, the commercial world, television. The USDA is one of my clients because the government wants to educate about food too. So you're still limited of what you can learn and experience being in-house for a company because they focus on what they do. So you still kind of got to jump the gun and get out there to experience those clients in the physical space because that's when you'll do most of your learning.
Okay, Keanu, there's so much to talk to you about in regards to like your this line of work and having this space, but let's start from the beginning. How did you fund this endeavor? Like, did you have a budget in mind for how much you were willing to spend per month on top of the rent that you were paying for your actual home? Like, how did that go?
Yeah, so the budget was set in a very simple way. I was freelancing for a bit before I opened the studio while looking for spaces and mostly as a culinary producer, food stylist. And the idea with Jigoni was, and still is, this is my primary workspace where I can do my projects, be it personal, you know, my recipe development testing, or for my clients. And then when I'm not using it, other people can rent it and use it too. Same as like a photographer who owns a photo studio. You're not doing photo shoots every day. When you have a shoot, it's your space. When it's not your shoot, other people can use it for them. And so my budget was set at 2 clients a month based on my day rate. If I got 2 clients every month, could I afford the rent?
Oh, that's so smart.
And that's how I picked how much. Not a lot of budget. What's the idea? Like I read in grad school, The Lean Startup. Think it's a fantastic philosophy. Even though I feel like it was really for the tech industry. It doesn't matter. You have to, it's a new product. Kitchen studios aren't a very, it's a very niche. You don't have to work in an industry to know that is a very specific thing to do. Mm-hmm. Wasn't very common here in LA. I was living in London where it's more common. It's common in New York because those are cities with very small space. So if you are any company producing that content, you're not going to spend the money on the real estate to sit there 80% of the month. You're just going to rent it when you need it. LA is a bigger production market. People were shooting in houses. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know if it would work. I didn't know if there would be clients. So I was like, I have clients right now. They're still here. And we're shooting these random Airbnbs and apartments. So if I can get those clients, 2 of those projects every month to shoot at Jigoni, rent is covered and we're good. I wasn't even worried about making profit at the point. I was like, can I cover the expenses?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how I set my budget.
All right. So so also too, when you were going into shopping around and looking for spaces, like what type of space were you looking for? Like paint us a picture. And do you feel like what you ended up with is what you had in mind?
Yeah. So a lot of what our studio is, it's not like a small closed set. It's the whole space. The whole room is the set. And having come from London, I kind of had an image in my mind of what those studios are like. It's England. Everything's much older, has texture, a lot more homey. Mm-hmm. A lot of the kitchen sets I was seeing in LA were leaning more contemporary.
Modern, straight lines.
Yeah, all that stuff.
I call them Kardashian kitchens.
Yeah, I like that. And by saying that, I know exactly what you're talking about. and that was, so I was really thinking, I'm like, I learned about this business in England and that's kind of what I modeled after. So our sets are, you know, that contemporary English kitchen. Which needed an older building with texture and all that stuff, but also price point. Every neighborhood in a city has its own cost. And at the time, the Arts District was the only area I could afford that also had the aesthetics of, you know, we have these like aged brick walls and exposed beams and like old wood floors, which were very reminiscent of what the spaces were like in London. But also it wasn't popping in 2019 as it is now. So I could actually afford places there. Everywhere else I looked was at least double the price for price per square foot. So I really honed in on that neighborhood, kept seeing places, talking to realtors, like, what else do you have? Until I refound a spot I found a year before.
You refound it?
Yeah, I couldn't find it again, because when I first saw our current studio, it was on Craigslist for sublease.
Got you. So it didn't fit the bill exactly.
It was, I mean, I guess it just the Craigslist post was gone, so I couldn't re-find it, and I didn't write down the address. I just, like, called the guy. It was an art gallery. He had another gallery in a different part of town. Didn't want this one anymore. But I was touring another space in the same neighborhood. The space was grim. It was horrendous. And I was feeling a little defeated. I'm like, all right, I'm never going to find a space that fits my budget. And the realtor's like, there's one more space. It's like a little bit bigger that I could show you. It's 5 minutes on the road. I'm like, okay, cool. I'll follow you. And I drove up, and it was the space I saw a year before that I couldn't find.
Magic.
Yeah.
Magic. But yeah, talking to realtors, it really helps because it wasn't, I didn't come across our current unit on any of the big real estate websites. I don't know why it wasn't there, but it wasn't there.
Interesting.
I mean, would you suggest hiring a commercial real estate agent to, like, find a bunch of places? Or do you think it's fine to just kind of, like, poke around on Craigslist and different sites? Like, what's the best route to take?
I think if you're going, you know, small business, really yourself, bootstrap, you don't need an agent. There's a lot of websites. What we did is I just found this place online, and I just asked that broker what else she got. Places that have agents will be one of two things, either really new builds that are going to be quite expensive or smaller properties like ours that are owned by someone who owns a lot of property. So for them, it's not like these units are expensive. They just have a lot of inventory, and that's why they have a realtor.
Got it.
But overall, a lot of the majority of spaces I saw were represented by owner, represented by tenant for sublease.
Mm-hmm.
I think looking at Craigslist, looking at LoopNet, those are kind of like the two places you got to look, and then just to start finding and then talking to the people once you're out there viewing spaces.
Yeah, I've been looking around on Craigslist and have found some really great potential spaces. I haven't, like, reached out yet because I'm just like, I've had other priorities, but like once I'm really thinking that once the new year gets here, I'm going to really start diving in. 6 months. I'm giving myself 6 months.
It's also one of those things where it's like the more you start seeing spaces, even if it's like out of your budget, go see it anyways because it helps you create a standard for within that context. Like we all have a standard of what we wanted for apartments and for our homes.
Yeah.
But for commercials, especially if you haven't done it before, there's so much variance. Just seeing the spaces and learning really helps, I think. By the time I recircled and found my current, I had seen dozens. So I already knew what I wanted negotiation-wise. Like, it's just like research and educating yourself on the industry. Yeah. Even if you can't afford it, just show up and check it out.
Plus, it's fun to go look at new spaces. I mean, I love shopping.
It's fun.
Shopping. Shanti, do you want to ask the location question?
Yeah. And then I have a semi-follow-up, too, of just like with commercial leases, where all of the leases that you're looking at for 2 years, like were all the commercial leases for 2 years?
Ooh, no. My first lease, so we haven't moved, but it was a one-year lease. I think, like I said, the status of the space you're in will dictate your negotiating power. I think the unit I first took, because we have two studios in the same building. Our loft studio is our first one. It's the smaller of the two. And I think it just had changed hands so many times. The landlord's a little bit fatigued and just wanted somebody in. And I told him, I'm like, listen, I have never run a business before. I have this idea. I have work experience. I have, like, do pretty okay. But I want to give this a go. It's an experiment. I don't know how this is going to rock. So I'm like, 1 year. And he's like, we don't do 1 year lease. So I'm like, all right, cool. Well, if you need somebody, I'm willing to take it, but for a year. I think if it was a place that was high demand, a lot of applications,
right,
they would skip over you. But end of day, we're talking about commercial space for a rental business, just as, you know, once I don't want my studio sitting empty. Someone comes to me with a last minute shoot, be like, hey, I want to shoot tomorrow. Studio's empty, but they're a little under budget. I'm way more inclined to say yes. I'm like, well, I'm either going to make money that day or not.
Right.
So if you have the negotiating power, you can ask for less. But if a lot of people want it, if it's popular and all these things, they're going to be like, they'll reject your offer.
Did you have like a business plan ready to like show these landlords? Like, this is what
you're laughing. For those at home who can't see us, yeah. Keanu's face just broke into pure mirth and joy. She's like, no, baby,
okay.
No.
And I think it's partially...
She had her tasty videos. She was pulling those up on YouTube. Honestly,
it's partially it's because it's just it wasn't just a rental business. It was my workspace, too. And I think I'm like, I already do this work. I already have clients. And it's almost like I need an office for the work I'm already doing versus it being a brand new business with, like, no traction, no revenue. It's like, I'm doing this work. I'm just giving dedicated space for it. So I think that's... could have helped.
Yeah.
Unless he probably internet stalked me too. And I was like, meh. Okay.
She's good. She's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, that. I think that's like a really interesting way to think about it is because you were already in this, you were already in the line of work that you were inclined to rent out your studio for. So you already had the contacts for that business space. And then just seeing it as an extension of your office almost feels like as prepared as you can be to be a first time like small business owner.
Yeah.
Because there's all, you know, I haven't done that yet. And so I'm like, I can only imagine the stuff that I would be learning in my first year of whatever business that winds up being. But I know one of the biggest things, especially for a business like this, where people are coming to your location to shoot, is the location. Your studios are in the same building in the Arts District near downtown LA. What's your advice in making sure you pick the right location?
I think location correlates to your offering a lot. We're a boutique size studio. One of our spaces, our loft, is 1,400 square feet. Our daylight studio is 2,200. Compared to sound stages, they're really small spaces. But from talking to clients, at least in production, as long as your space is within that 30-mile zone, production zone, they don't care where it is. I think what you need to bear in mind is the offering. We can get away with being more boutique size and, you know, being a smaller space because we're centrally located. If I wanted to move my studio further out, people are going to expect more amenities. They're going to expect a private parking lot. They're going to expect more. So I think the offering and the location need to, like, be in sync with each other.
That's so smart.
So, yeah, if you're in town, like, people know. It doesn't matter what planet you're from. Downtown is downtown. And people know downtown is a nightmare for parking. It's a little bit noisier and all these things. So issues that we have in operations, clients come in already ready to forgive because they know it comes with territory being downtown. Now, if we had parking issues and noise issues and we're 40 minutes outside of town,
yeah,
probably wouldn't run as smoothly.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
That makes so much sense.
So Fred gave us a little pop quiz before we came in here. Oh. That's when you heard us talking about leases and all that, about the basic commercial lease agreement types. And we want to know, what kind of leasing agreements do you have? And is there anything that you would have negotiated differently in hindsight?
So our lease agreement, just like I told you, our lease term was first just 1 year.
Is it gross or is it?
I believe so. Like, we don't have, our rent is our rent. I overheard you guys talking about utilities.
I'm so sorry. All right, okay. Cool. I just took a drink of water and went down the wrong way. So say that again, my bad.
So when it comes to who pays for what, we have a flat number for our lease. We pay what we pay every month. All the utilities we have are our responsibility. The only thing the landlord handles is, because we're in a multi-unit building, and I feel like if we were a standalone building, this may be very different. Because with commercial, you have a lot more free reign of your space. Unlike your apartment, you know, we're all using command strips in our rental, you know, privately, because we're like, I want to put holes in the wall. Commercial space expects you, and part of it is like, you got to make it your own.
Right.
You're changing things. People are knocking down walls, painting ceilings. Like, you're really doing a lot of change. Our air conditioning unit in our loft studio was absolute rubbish. And you can imagine people cooking on camera. You need, I the room needs to be refrigerator cold if needed be. And our current unit wasn't up to par. That cost is ours to make it what we want. So our thing with our landlord is he just wants a space back as he gave it to us. Mm-hmm. Whatever we do in the meantime, we can do whatever we want.
Nice.
But when things like are broken, damaged, it depends if it's, you know, infrastructure to the building. Like if there's a, if it's raining and the ceiling leaks, that's his problem. Mm-hmm. But we had a neighbor on the ground floor who got their shop and their window was busted in and they were robbed. They were responsible for changing that window, even though it's building exterior.
Oh,
how's that?
You know, it's a great question. I'm glad. I'm very glad we're on the second floor.
What?
Yeah.
So there's still some sneaky business underneath that, like, you can
always
get got.
Always, but we'll call. Like, if I see, you know, there's always a month in LA where there's like crickets everywhere. If I start hearing them, I'm like, I'll email to be like, send an exterminator. So I think if there's this overall building related things that can affect the whole property, they'll handle, but things that are unit specific, it's really like, it's your space until you hand back your keys.
So you pay utilities.
Yeah.
Got it.
I just got really triggered by the crickets in the studio.
I don't know. Oh, no. We don't see them, but I hear.
Yeah.
You know, at nighttime, you'll hear them. I'm like.
We know because in our Studio 7 for Ladylike, we had a cricket. It was the sixth member of Ladylike. We could never get BuzzFeed to get an exterminator to fucking.
It was loud. It was.
We'd have to stop filming videos. Put it on the cache.
Right.
the cricket was in videos. You could hear it in videos. Like we would have to stop rolling because it'd be one thing if it was like it's annoying but we can't hear it. Then it's like okay, whatever. But like you could hear it because at one point they were like, "Can you send us a recording and then like we can investigate?" And I was like, "I will send you a recording." I was like, "Here it is. You can absolutely hear it."
Still that would have been happened. On the cache. I was taught, like, maybe my second month at BuzzFeed, like, by many people, ask for forgiveness, not permission.
Yeah.
I would have swiped my card so fast.
Yeah. Well, it's what you needed. I'm doing you a favor.
Yeah.
So do you have wood floors in your studio? Speaking of BuzzFeed, after the Tasty debacle?
We have, depends on the studio. Uh-huh. Our Daylight studio has wood floors. Our loft studio is concrete with fake wood floors on top. So it doesn't actually do the shaking.
For those who are like, what? Why the wood floors? The Tasty video, the Tasty space up in LA had wood floors. And like, you'd have to tiptoe around those tables. Cause like,
people, otherwise the cameras would shake and you'd literally, it'd be like an earthquake as you're stirring cheese sauce.
And of course that would be the first place that they would take like external guests to come and visit. Mm-hmm. And those kids would, or those folks would never know how to like walk softly. I've filmed a Tasty video or two and it was awful. Oh. Yeah, it was an experience.
Yeah, you've endured life.
Yeah, I'm on the other side. I've lived through it. I'm fine.
All right, well, I have some follow-ups, but we will get into more details
after the break.
We are back and chatting with chef and business owner Keanu. I want to get into some pros and cons of leasing a commercial space. Mm. Roses and thorns, all of it. So let's start with the thorns. Give it to us.
The thorns. I guess ours is specific to being a multi-unit building. Your business is your business, but your neighbor's business is their business. And you... like any other, you know, multi-unit rental, it can be a little bit disruptive. Mm-hmm. We've been lucky where some of our potentially noisiest neighbors are the nicest people ever and are very flexible and also are able to accommodate and work with us. But when you have someone wanting to shoot a video with audio and your neighbor's Steinway pianos and there's eight grand pianos on the other side of the wall, be a little bit tricky. And so that's a huge thorn. And that's just part of, you know, being a young business. The dream is always to have control. Mm-hmm. But especially talking about, you know, studios where we're recording audio, there's things you can't control. Unless you're in the remote, your own land, your own plot with an internal. The city of LA will do construction whenever they feel like it and give you no notice. I wish there was like a website where you could be like, there's road work today. But you can have a client coming in shooting for, you know, something very important and they're jackhammering outside the window. So that is probably the external, the world happening around you is probably our biggest disruption of running our business, is just having to deal with the external unforeseens. Quickly.
I swear, it's like clockwork. If ever you're shooting something and you have 5 minutes left until you wrap, that's when people start mowing their lawns.
Oh, yeah.
Or like blowing their leaves.
Oh, yeah.
Airplane.
Yeah. Helicopters.
You're always this close to wrapping.
Oh, yeah. I was directing a shoot yesterday. We were at a house in Highland Park, or not yesterday, last week. And literally, like, there was construction that started like stirring cement. Like, it was like a huge truck. And so we went over there and we're like, hey, can you give us like 20 minutes? Like, we're about to go to lunch. And they did it probably because they thought we were going to like slip them some money. But I think we slipped them some snacks.
Crafty.
There you go. That works.
Yeah. We're like, here's a little snack basket. Thank you.
Love you guys. Bye.
Love you.
Yeah, it's hard. It's like, I think any business, especially physical business, it's there's customer service involved. Customer service, like on a high level, you think is like for restaurants and like boutiques and spas, but it's all kinds of business. Production is like our primary client. We rent to people for video shoots, photo shoots primarily. It's a stressful job. We all have done it. People, especially when people don't know what they're doing, the stress is a lot higher. And we really try to have our staff be level at all times. I always tell our location reps, don't meet people where they are. Bring them down to like chill. For a second, and so it's a huge part of what we have to do and kind of challenges is knowing that we are a simple service in a pretty complicated industry. And people management, even like learning the right type of location reps to hire, aren't people who, you know, have a strong film background or whatever. They're people who are good with people, and people who have attention to detail are the ones we found to be the most successful staff for us. Very much if you have front desk experience, you'll probably be a better site rep than someone who went to film school and who knows how to like shoot things beautifully, because we are very much in the business of working with people who are constantly always about to lose their shit.
We don't want to like,
that is such a good note.
Yeah,
that's such a good note.
We don't want to discourage people from going into production, but that's so true.
It's true, but I mean, it comes down like a lot of things that, you know, especially as you guys, where you want to be multi-hyphenate, if your business is like your core thing, then you probably are there daily. But if you have multiple interests or maybe multiple projects where this business is an extension of what you want to do, maybe it's a hub or maybe it's just like a side thing, hiring will really shake out how it works. But also a big learning curve is creating systems, workflows, training materials for those staff that you hire so that they are set up for success, so that if you're not there, do they have resources there to figure it out? Or are you getting SOS calls even when you have a 3 a.m. call time client? Because that's a thing. So that's probably been our biggest learning curve, is how do we set up the operations of this business to be as stress-free, as seamless, as automated, as tech-forward as possible.
Can I ask a question? All right, so when we were checking in through the timeline, you signed your leases in 2019. When did you start adding business partners and then staff? Like, how long did it take for you to start growing in that way?
So, got my keys September 2019.
Oh, and also that was during the pandemic. Like, how did you keep your business afloat? Like, right before the pandemic?
I would never chosen to open a physical business during COVID.
Right.
It was just, I don't want to say bad timing, challenging timing.
Sure.
So yeah, we opened, had our first clients really end of that year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's me. I was there daily. Even when we were closed during COVID, I was there daily working on my client projects. I was co-authoring a cookbook. It was when I realized that some of the hours could get a bit long. Because when you're doing a production, you're hiring one-day shoot, three-day shoot, you're that, and then you have a break. As a film location, we can go back-to-back. I think after things settled from COVID, people got their, you know, COVID workflow sorted.
Mm-hmm.
We had, I think, 40-something days with very few days off because people can rent weekdays, weekends, between 10 and 14 hours every shoot.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very evident that I'm like, oh, we need like a little rotation of people who can come here so we don't die.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one production, I actually literally had to bring a day bed from my apartment into a corner of a studio because my body was going to collapse because the hours are so long for so many days. So I think it's very much just bandwidth
mm-hmm.
and the hours are so tiring. But for me, Jaconi is a part of what I want to do with my career.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of my time is creating materials and ways and relooking at what we're doing so it can run without my day-to-day presence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that really came once we're able to open again and be a little bit more stable. But our staff are there when we have clients. So we don't have people there unless something's happening.
Right. Cool. Cool.
How do you work out that kind of like employment structure? Is it people who are kind of day players? Is it people who are salaried?
Yeah, it's day play. Almost borrowing from my retail early employment at Hollister and Abercrombie. It's just, it made, you know, as much as like those companies are like insane, the model kind of made sense where you have a roster of people who know the work, they know the space, and they know what to do and kind of like jump in. A lot of the people we have as site reps work in production as PAs or production coordinators.
Mm.
For them, it's nice because you're still in the industry, but you get a sit.
Yeah. Love a seat.
Yeah, it's just like we have like a small roster and it's coordinating schedules, you know, reaching out, hey, we have these dates, are you available? And just scheduling folks in for that.
Nice. Nice.
How many people do you have on your roster?
Right now, we have three. I try to keep three at a time, especially during COVID. Someone can be sick or someone could be booked another project. There are some times where I won't book anyone and I'll just do it, especially if it's like a shorter day.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not really worth it to have someone come out if it's like a last minute half day shoot.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a multi-day project, we definitely like to have people come in.
That's cool.
Oh, you're so organized. I love this so much.
Yeah, what is your sign?
I'm a Capricorn.
I know it. I'm a Capricorn too. I love it.
Organization is really my key. We have one full-time staff member, Izzy. She's based in London. So she's like fully remote. She was an intern for me during COVID. And then I didn't know what to do with her, but I was like, you have to stay. It's the most like positive, can-do attitude about anything. Same smile now as she did her first intern day on Zoom every mm-hmm. time. And she works with us on copy. So our website, training manuals for staff, we'll just, you know, get on Zoom, hammer it out, and constantly revising. And that's my day to day. The studio's done. I've remodeled it 80,000 times mm-hmm. to the point where I need to stop. But now the day to day is operations and creating those materials so everything can like run as smoothly as possible.
So let's talk about some of the pros of your commercial leasing space. We talked about the cons, about mm-hmm. getting into this kind of situation. What are some of the pros? And think about general work-life balance.
I think one of the pros just with leasing is it gives you room to physically experiment.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of things, especially creative people, we want to do. But feel limited in tools, mm-hmm. resources. It's almost like I'm very into like sci-fi fantasy. Like how underwhelming would it be where if they went on a quest to find someone just like in their bedroom thinking, Which is like, I feel like a lot of creators do. We're always like thinking, no, you got to like show up to their workshop and it's like crazy and it's chaotic. Like having that physical space, I think, pushes you forward. It helps for me. It helped me actualize a lot of the things I wanted to do beyond the studio itself by having that physical space there. I'm like, I can do it now. It's here. It's real. I can touch it. People can experience it. And with leasing, it gives you that window for the duration of that time to give it a go. I get very itchy. Something can only sit in my brain for so long before I need to like actualize it. I think that's a benefit of lease.
Well, also that's, I think I heard of someone say like the best creative ideas have a shelf life.
I've never heard that, but it makes sense.
But if you don't act on it, then they'll leave. They'll expire.
Yeah, I always think it's a bummer. I mean, it works for some people. You'll hear folks be like, I've been sitting on this movie idea for 12 years. I'm like, I love that for you, but
how?
How? But also, I think, you know, maybe some of the big, big, big things need to be there. But I think it's good to have schmedium goals.
Yeah.
Schmedium size goals. But I do think eventually if your business does well, like anything, I've always thought of my business, you know, as a creative thing or a creative studio until my mom works in finance. One of her friends came over, came by Jaconi. He's like, oh, love that you're in real estate now. I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm an artist. And he's like, no, he's like, I heard the business. This is a real estate business. You have a property. You have a that you lease out to people. I'm like, oh my God, I work in real estate.
You do work in real estate.
But I would never articulate it that way.
Real estate of artists.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's still that. So I think what I've been learning is, you know, if the real estate is going to be so core to your business type, it makes sense to one day aspire to own a commercial building. Whether that idea has a shelf life, maybe you want to pivot away from it. I think it could be a huge regret to one day look back and see all that money, because the rent is our biggest overhead, just fizzle into nothing. So I think the natural next stage after testing the business, building the clientele, is figuring out, all right, how do we own property?
I was going to ask what the next step is. That is exciting, because I also, too, like, before doing a bunch of research or even talking to you, I thought that really the only route was owning. And I was like looking at spaces to buy. And I was like, oh, this is never going to happen for me. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is, you know, 700, 800, you know, millions of dollars. And I was like, I'm like, how do people do this? And then I'm like, oh, wait, OK, there's a landlord. They lease. And then people also then sublease. There's like lots of leasing tiers. I feel like it can be even like. How many are you able to like? I know you can. You're subleasing one of your spaces, correct?
Yeah, we. Our loft is our first studio space, and there's a unit next door to it that the realtor told us was sitting empty forever because it had no windows. And at the time, I just needed a green room and like extra stuff, so we had it before we moved into our daylight studio. So that place became redundant, and we subleased to one of our neighbors in the building.
I love that.
Wow.
I'm not trying to find people off the streets, because the problem is the sublease, you're responsible for the rent. Like, I still pay my landlord my full rent, and they pay me. These guys have been in our building since 2014. They're reliable. They ain't going nowhere. They're family-run business. A lot of people come in with great ideas, and they can kind of drop it at a minute. And with a sublease, unless you have the legal to hunt them down,
right,
it's a little shaky. So I would only sublease to, like, a well-established. Like, the neighbors were perfect, and I'm glad we're able to help them get a bigger space, too, because they were squeezed.
Yeah. Mm.
Any last-minute pieces of advice for young Fred as she embarks on this journey? I knew you wanted to do commercial leasing and look into it, but this is the first time I've heard you set down dates, which is very exciting.
I know.
Timelines. Ooh. I think the part that was helpful for us, because the biggest expense people think of, like, the rent, the outfitting is, wow.
Making it pretty. Is that what you mean?
Fixing the space, getting it up to par. Like, one of our bathrooms had, like, a plastic art basin in it, but, like, a really old, gross one instead of a real sink. And so we had to invest a lot in, like, making the studio look like somewhere that people want to spend money on. Mm-hmm. That's a hard part about, especially being in commercial rental. The space itself needs to look good, and that's where you're really going to put your money. Mm-hmm. But paint will carry you a long way. And
lighting, maybe?
Lighting, yeah. It's like, look at those like small things that aren't maybe high cost, but really transform a space first.
Yeah.
Because you can always add. The first studio I had was DIY to the nines, and I hadn't DIY'd anything in my life.
Well, you said that outfitting these spaces really kind of tapped into your like low-key passion of just like interior design and like making spaces look pretty.
Oh yeah, I fully, my love for producing is like a star that's millions of years old that is slowly dying. You know, it's not,
Whoa.
Burn as bright. Like I think,
Just kidding. We love that. That was yeah.
It's been replaced by space design. It's such a fun challenge looking at an empty room and materializing and being in the constraints of this is for filming, where it needs to look like somewhere, but be flexible enough to look like what somewhere other else. People need.
Yeah.
It's so much fun. And I think I love food. Food is my love, and food is why I work in food media. I don't make cooking videos because I love video. I love it's the cooking for me. The videos is just a tool. And the kitchen is now the space. And so I think interior is going to hopefully take a more prevalent part of my life. I'll produce for me. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, a few key projects. But I think as far as, like, my core identity of, like, what do I do for work, I've always said I'm in the business of culinary education. Right now I do it through the medium of video because that's how we're all receiving things. But I think the spaces are.
I feel you. I love fun.
Potent.
I love design. Reno design. Anything involving any inkling of HGTV, I am on it. I love it. It is so much fun. So that is one of the biggest things that I'm looking forward to, is like finding a space that has amazing potential and then being able to like flip it and transform it into a space that I think really represents like me and the type of clientele that I want to draw in. Mm-hmm. You know,
it also makes traveling like way more fun because like what you're interested in and what you're doing day to day, like, you know, shifts the way you see the world, because the world is designed so vastly differently. The moment you start nerding out on like spaces, everything becomes interesting to you. Yeah. You'll never be bored. Yeah. Like, wow, look at that trim on that ceiling corner. Like, you see everything.
You have to. That's amazing. You have to. Oh, this was great. Also, I love finding out that you're a Capricorn. That was wonderful.
A highlight for you.
I'm a true not highlight.
Wait, when's your birthday? Happy early birthday.
January 4th.
Okay, coming up. I'm December 23rd.
Oh, December Capricorn. Yeah, I don't know many of those.
We're crazy. Because we're on the fiery cusp. We're a little
with the all the Capricorns I know were January caps.
Yeah.
That's true. Actually, same for me.
I mean, you Mike Rose.
Yeah.
Like, and they're a little bit more stable.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Devin is one in a million.
Oh, cheers. You guys. We love it.
Well, Kiana, thank you so much for coming and chatting with us. And I mean, Jaconi, I hope you feel so, so proud of what you've created. It's like your studio, it's pristine. It's beautiful. It's everything that you want a studio to be. And it's very apparent that you've taken such care and such pride in creating this truly like premium and deluxe feeling space. It's amazing.
That's so nice. Thank you.
And it's true. As a filmmaker, you notice when you come in and you're like, oh, thank God, I don't have to worry about this. Yeah. Or they've got tables. Oh, they have this. And that's what Chantal was talking about before you came in.
Oh, thank you. I mean, it means a lot. But like I said, I came in knowing, I knew what I knew. I tell people BuzzFeed is a little bit of a, or it was, I don't know how it is now, but Wild West. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks learning as we go, but it's our clients. It's listening to people, seeing what they have, seeing what they're asking us for, and trying to, you know, sadly in startup mode, take what they're giving us, try to see what makes sense and put it back in and hear that feedback. So thank you.
So where can people find
Absolutely.
You? I'll say that again. Where can people find you?
The interwebs, per usual. Our studio is Jaconi Studios on all things. And then I'm Kiana Moju on all things.
Love it. And what's coming up? Do you have a cookbook coming up, or is that or am I spilling confidential tea?
Oh, not confidential. Speaking of, so that's what I'm usually working on now. I have my cookbook with Simon & Schuster called Africali.
Oh my God. Ooh,
I didn't know that was the title. I'm obsessed.
Yeah, Africali. You gotta, you know, put it in your digital diary because it is going to be out spring 24. We got a little bit of time.
Okay. Okay. All right. Look out for Africali, y'all. Thank you so much, Keanu.
Thank you. Thank you. And come by the studio, taste test. That's the whole fun part of the cookbook, you know?
You twist my arm.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh my God. I'm so inspired.
Yeah. I'm like ready to go home right now and hop on the computer and start looking at spaces again. Like,
you better put them in the group chat because you know I love looking at apartments and like stuff like that.
I mean, let's circle. I mean, Devin found me my house.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Ah.
So hilarious. I will be dropping them in the chat. Absolutely.
Okay. I'm seeing Hue lights. I'm seeing like iPad hookups.
Oh yes.
I'm seeing all the state of the art everything.
Very tech forward.
Cute Instagram spaces.
Lots of Instagram spaces. Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing coves. I'm seeing built-ins. Ooh. I'm seeing, you know what I mean? Like
lots of flex. Lots of flex.
Lots of flex.
Yeah.
Lots of flex. Lots of built-in places for lighting up top.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh my God.
I love this. Let's
cool seating options.
Yes.
Maybe I get married there.
Wait a minute.
Hold on.
I just got so excited.
Wow. Wow.
We have to. Yeah. We have to.
Okay, keeping that in mind while I shop.
All right.
Will this work for Devin's wedding?
You just start FaceTiming me.
Hey, like, I'm here.
What do you think?
It's my first big booking. All right, y'all.
I mean, yeah. Hell yeah.
Why not? Little life updates for y'all. Money Honeys is going on a little hiatus for the holiday season.
Yes, we will be back at some point in 2023. Going to be making some shifts, going to be making some slight changes. TBD, but we will be back.
Because we still love money. We still like talking about money.
And we're still sweet as honey.
Oh, wow.
Yes, we are.
Goodness gracious.
So stick around for all the latest money tea in 2023.
Follow us on Instagram. We're still going to be posting. And we'll let you know where we're at after 2023.
Thank y'all so much for being supportive and tapping into our podcast in 2022. Y'all have made this so fun for us. And we want to keep giving y'all some dope stuff next year. So thank you again.
Bye.